Looks like, yep, we are recording. Chairperson Pollack, do you want us to go ahead and start the roll call?
You're on mute, Lois.
So we only have four commissioners right now.
We have three out of the four. Correct.
Yeah. Okay, got it. Okay. Let's go ahead and start.
Okay, right now it's 3:01 p.m. on Wednesday, October 2nd, 2024. I'm going to go ahead and proceed with the roll call. Mayor's is vacant. Ward 1, vacant. Ward 2, Commissioner Burke is absent. Ward 3, Commissioner Ortega?
Here.
Ward 4 is vacant. Ward 5, Vice Chair Clark.
Here.
And Ward 6, Chairperson Pollack.
Here.
Well, I heard, did I hear 4?
Is vacant.
No. Were there 4 of us here? I thought I only heard 3.
There's going to be 3.
There's just 3. I was asking, I couldn't remember how many there were, if there were 4 or 5. Yeah. So we've got a quorum, 3 out of 4.
Correct.
So excellent. Thanks for attending. Really appreciate it. Okay. So the first item on the agenda is going to be approval of the previous, I think it's the May.
May and June.
Right. It's the May 1 and June 5 meeting minutes. So, you know, that was quite a while ago. But anyhow, I've read through the May 1 meeting minutes. Has anybody else read through them?
Yes.
Perfect.
I would just, Chairperson, I just think I should abstain from voting on these since I was not currently a chair or on the commission at that time. So,
okay. I don't think that'll be a problem.
Well, is the quorum the numbers present or the total number to get a vote?
So we have 3 out of 4, so we have quorum.
I understand that. For a vote, I think we have 1 abstention out of the 3, so that leaves us only 2 for a vote.
But is it required to approve?
I don't think it is required. I think you're permitted to vote even if you haven't been present at the meeting.
Oh, well, that too.
Well, I understand that. But since I was not present at the meeting, I don't know if the minutes are correct. So therefore, I don't think it's appropriate that I should vote on them. I don't think it matters in accepting that I need to participate in that if the 2 people that are currently present are willing to accept them.
Yeah, that's correct. Y'all can, Chairperson Pollack and Vice Chair Clark, you all can vote on the minutes.
Okay.
That was my question, is whether we needed a quorum, just those quorum of those present, which is 2 out of 3, or if we needed a full quorum in order to vote.
The former. Sure. The former.
Yeah. Okay.
Hi.
So, I'd like to present a motion that we accept these meeting minutes for May 1.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. And we have 1 abstention. Okay, now we've got the June 5 meeting minutes. And I think those were... Let's see. So everybody got a copy of those. That was the elections of officers and approval of May 1. Now, wait a minute. I'm just kind of looking back at May 1. So on this May 1, I don't remember. We didn't have the May 1 meeting, but we just approved the draft minutes. Wait a minute. We had the May 1 meeting, but then on the draft minutes for 6-5, it says that we were, let's see here, moves to continue approval. Oh, okay. So we continued approval of May 1. I see. Okay. So we did that same thing. I was just trying to figure out what this actually said. Okay. So anyhow, elections, we postponed the meeting approval minutes for May 1, and we got the staff updates. Looks pretty accurate.
Move to accept the minutes as presented.
And I second that.
Abstain.
Okay. And they've been accepted. Well, I guess we have to vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Pass. Okay, great. That is done. Number three on the agenda is staff update, business services. And as you said, that might be Aaron.
So Trudy, were you going to be the one to present an update from business services?
I was more prepared to present for Park Tucson. I'm sorry, what is the question?
No, so it should be Aaron and
okay. Well,
yeah,
he's not attending yet, right?
Looks like he's not there.
Okay, so we're gonna move on to the next item in the agenda until he shows up. Let's see, the next item is number four, overview of Park Tucson. Okay, so hang on 1 second. Okay, so I'm having problems just going between screens here. Sorry. Usually I have two computers. Okay, so now, Trudy, you're going to talk about Park Tucson. So first of all, can you tell us who you are? We see your name, but sure. Tell us what you do at Park Tucson.
I am actually the finance manager of Department of Transportation and Mobility, and Park Tucson is a division under that department. So I take care of the finances for our administrator, Tom Janowitz. And so I can certainly speak to the financials and present those. And Tom is here to answer very specific Park Tucson questions.
Oh, okay. So Tom, tell us about you.
Yes. Hi. Thank you for having us today. Great to see everybody. I'm the Park Tucson Administrator, along with my team on the call today, J.R. Kelly, Erica Garcia. Thank you so much for having us. We do a lot of work here managing the parking offerings from the city of Tucson, and that's from parking garages to surface lots to on-street parking to permit programs. So there's a lot going on at Park Tucson. I did have a presentation prepared. If you'd like me to share my screen, I can go through an overview of Park Tucson if you'd like. And I know you also have some questions about the neighborhood reinvestment program that we also manage. So I can go in any order that you'd like.
So yeah, hang on 1 second. So Sarah, somewhere I saw a list of our questions. Can you tell me which document it's in?
Yes, so it's going to be on the email attachment, I believe. Let me see.
Is it Park Tucson data? Or is that it?
Yes, so it's going to, you were asking questions about the data. And I did send over two documents from FY23 and FY24 for your review.
Maybe it was in the, I it just saw the list. No, I have the data, but it was our list of questions.
It's in the body of the email.
Oh, okay. I was trying to figure out where did I see that at?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's in the body of the email. Which email maybe? Okay, show message. Okay. Okay, great. Okay, thanks for doing that. So does everybody have that pulled up except me? So there was, in the body of the email dated 9/26 from Sarah, there is the key points that she was talking, that she had communicated with Park Tucson, I believe, that were the questions from a previous meeting. Do the other commissioners have that pulled up?
Yes.
Okay, great. And then the attached file, which is Park Tucson data, is there, originally we were looking at the ACFR and looking at the dollar numbers basically for budgeted and actual. And then that's how the topic came up. Plus I've had personally other neighborhoods who are in their zone asking about the monies and how things are spent and stuff like that. So that's kind of how this topic came about. Okay, so yeah, go ahead and I don't know who's going to talk first, Tom or Trudy.
Sure. Yeah, I can address this, and I'll definitely answer all the questions I can, and feel free to interject at any time. So tell
us just a little bit about what Park Tucson does, because I know they're not in my area. I'm in Garden District, Alvernon and Speedway, and they're not really over there.
Yeah, so we have a boundary. You can think of it like a box. Grant Road to the north, 22nd to the south, Country Club to the east, and Granada to the west. And we mainly focus on business districts, entertainment districts, the U of A, places with on-street parking. And within that box, there's also 15 neighborhoods that participate in our residential parking permit program.
So could those you please are, give us oh. those boundaries again? Grant sure. to what?
Grant is on the north end.
Right.
The south would be 22nd.
It is. Okay. Country Club to what was the other one?
Granada or Grande.
Grande? Grande. Yeah, on the other side of the freeway. Okay, got right. it.
Right.
Okay, sorry about that.
Yeah, no problem. Within those boundaries, there are several neighborhoods that are part of our residential permit program. The blocks within those neighborhoods can petition into a permit program, and a lot of blocks do. There is participation within those areas, and the permit funds that are gained from the permit program. And I want to make sure there's a distinction here. There's the residential permit program, which guarantees you a parking spot. That's the main intent of that program, and that. You know, is the main benefit. It essentially ensures that a resident has some place to park in front of their house. Around the U of A, that can become troublesome with a lot of students and employees. So this program does what it's intended. The permit prices range anywhere from $48 to $72, and they're available in a few different products, such as Monday through Friday or weekends, and even special event permit. So those funds are tracked, and the administrator has the right to enact a neighborhood reinvestment program where some of the funds of the permit program are put into a fund. And essentially over the last 6 to 8 months, I've had the opportunity to meet with different stakeholders and look at the data. We were looking at basically revising this program to make sure it works for everybody. And there was a couple years there where it was not that clear. So we wanted to come back to the Park Tucson Commission, who we report to, and clear up the program and revise and get a final draft. And we finally do.
I want to ask you a question. Why? Do we have, and I know some reasons, but I want you to tell us all, why do people have to buy permits? What is the purposes for people having to spend money, extra money on that?
Yeah, they definitely don't have to buy a permit, but if there's a lack of on-street parking on their residential block, those programs are available to blocks that have petitioned into the program to be able to buy
permits. Go back even further. Why do we need to charge for on-street parking? Why isn't on-street parking free?
Well, it's in order to manage it. It's manage it when you put a price on a product. It manages it. It provides flexibility for parking products in the neighborhoods. So you know, we also have a cost associated with enforcing the program and managing the parking around the university. So you know, our costs include the patrol parking service agents, the permit supplies and things like that. So it's in order to manage and pay for the management of the parking programs in the neighborhoods that have parking issues. So it's a service that we provide.
So you're saying that neighborhoods have parking issues, and it's predominantly because of students, or maybe not students, but people who go to the U of A, either student, you know, visitor, whatever. Is that why we have these parking programs?
That's one of the reasons, absolutely, especially around the U of A campus. There's other areas with permit programs as well, but that is a big part of the reason why, yes.
What other areas have parking programs?
Neighborhoods like Armory Park, you know, or Jefferson Park. There are some neighborhoods further away. You know, some of these neighborhoods have large, high-density residential, you know, occupancy. There's a lot of businesses. Maybe they're close to Fourth Avenue, and there are, you know, visitors to the attractions and the local businesses that could impact residential parking. So that's another reason for the permit program.
Okay. Okay, great. And now, you started talking about managing and all that stuff, administrating the whole thing. So how does it work? There's something to do with the residents. So say that the neighborhood has already opted, they want to have residential parking permits. So they've already kind of, they've gotten the approval or whatever, because you have to get some kind of an approval.
Yes, there's a petition process that requires a majority of the block to sign a petition and ask for the program. So the request comes from the neighborhood. We, Park Tucson, does not go out to neighborhoods and, you know, solicit for this program. The requests come from the neighborhoods.
Okay. And so once they have done that, people just start buying the permits. Do you require a certain percentage of people to buy the permits?
We don't. The percentage that you're referring to was brought up by a constituent who lives in a neighborhood that's part of the program. And that participation percentage was one of the criteria that was originally part of the original neighborhood reinvestment program. But through meetings with stakeholders, the Park Tucson Commission, and executive management, that threshold for participation requirement has been eliminated from the plan. And this is a different program. This is the Neighborhood Residential Reinvestment Program. So that allows an accumulation of funds to be had for neighborhood traffic mitigation projects. So
are there two programs, one that requires a certain percentage of participation and one that doesn't? I don't get what you're saying.
Okay, so going back to the request to have a permit program on your block, that requires, that's I think a 60 or 75% participation as far as a petition goes in order to request it.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Excuse me, Madam Chairman.
Yeah.
Can I interpose a question here? Because I wanted to get back to the process. How does one go about getting the permit?
Right. So they can go online on our Park Tucson website. We have a residential permit section that details the neighborhood parking program. And there's an application. They fill out an application and submit it to our office.
The criteria for selection when the petition is made? What's the criteria?
The criteria is just that they live in a residence that's a part of the block that participates in the program. That's it, as long as their address is in a participating block.
It's getting confusing which part of the process we're talking about. Because I, Commissioner Clark, I'm not sure if your question was, how does a person get a permit, or how does the neighborhood get into the program? Which one were you talking about?
I think I was thinking about the neighborhood, how you apply to the process.
Okay.
Oh, right. So the neighborhood, all those neighborhoods are part of that program. A block specifically has to petition in, and there's an application for that process for a specific block. So that's a majority of the block signs a petition, and it's submitted, and we approve it based on that application. There's no other criteria except the the petition, and we do visit it, and we visit that block and look at the traffic and see if there truly is a need for that permit program on that block.
And just on to clarify, when you say a majority of the block, is that a majority of the cars, a majority of the houses, a majority of the people who are in that area?
The addresses, the majority of the residential addresses on that block. And JR, if I'm saying anything wrong, feel free to chime in. I have my superintendent on the meeting as well, and he can correct me if I'm providing any misinformation along the way.
Yeah, hi. So it's 75% of the block face. So 75. We will take, so we will take however many addresses are on the block face. So if it's a east and west street, we're taking the south side of the street as the block face. The north side of the street is its separate block face. It is a 75%. We have to have 75% of the signatures to approve a petition. During that time of approval, we will contact each person that has signed the petition to make sure that they sign the petition. They're aware of how the program works. We will also look at the amount of cars that are parked within the block. 25% of those vehicles need to be not from that block. So they need to be commuters or somebody else from the neighborhood before we will allow that petition to be processed.
So I have a question about your, because I just did this with another project. We go along the block and here's a set of apartments. And it's one address, but there's seven apartments or whatever, multiple apartments. Do you want one person, or do you want all residences, and they're renters?
So if there's more than four units on a property, it cannot be a part of our residential parking program. Our residential parking program is four units and under. So anything that is an apartment complex cannot be a part of that program. If we have an area that has a duplex or a triplex, it is one property. So we will take the property owner's signature. We do not allow renters or, tenants to sign that paperwork. It does have to be a property owner. We will accept a signature from a property management, just because that property management has authority over that particular residence.
Okay, sounds like you've got it thought out. Okay, so how many, I'm just curious, how many permit areas, zones, or whatever you call them, are there participating in this program?
There are 15.
Okay. 15 neighborhoods. Do you count one neighborhood association like Sam Hughes? Are they just correct. One?
Yes, that's right.
Okay. All right. Okay. And now, how do you get a permit? So say I live on a street and I'm new to the neighborhood. I just bought the house. How do I get a permit for my car?
Yeah,
or
hand that to you.
Two permits or whatever it is. How do I get one?
You can either come into our office and do it. You can fill out the application online. In order to get a permit, you either have to provide something to show that you own the property, or you have to provide a signed lease by both you and your landlord. So we need a copy of those. Each address, the amount of permits that they're allowed to have is dependent on the parkable frontage that they have. So we will go out and we will actually measure in front of your home to see how many permits you can have. And we will issue those permits however you see fit. Depending on how many permits you can have, there is a possibility that your address may receive one free permit, but you do have to purchase a permit to be able to receive that free permit. Not every address can have the free one, just because it depends on the actual parking frontage in front of your home.
So it's a BOGO, buy one, get one free.
Sometimes okay. It is, yes.
Okay. Now, now what do you guys do with the money? So you've got, well, anyhow, you've taken all this money, and these permits, they cost somebody every year, right? Okay. So it's a yearly fee. Yeah. What do you do with all the money?
Right. So that's part of our operating expenses. That's operating revenue that comes in, and we account for that. And part of that is now set aside as part of the neighborhood reinvestment program, set aside for neighborhoods to choose to conduct a neighborhood traffic mitigation project and tap into some of those funds to help pay for those programs.
Okay. And so how much typically is operating funds versus goes back to the neighborhood?
Well, I could tell you
percentage wise.
So in 2024, and Trudy, I might ask you to look up our operating revenue for permits while I look up the revenue assigned to the neighborhoods. But just looking at 2024, based on all the thresholds, criteria, and how we calculate the funds associated or allocated to these funds, 2024, there was $46,000 available to the neighborhoods. There's a $3,000 cap per year on each neighborhood's accumulation. That's actually $25,000. So $25,647 for 2024. Is allocated to the neighborhoods. If you go back to the history of this through the history of this program to the origin, there's over $300,000 that has been set aside in these funds for the neighborhoods.
What is the percentage of money that is spent on operating budget versus the percent that's returned to the neighborhoods? That's what
right.
I was asking. I don't know.
I have to. Right,
25K doesn't look like a very big number at all. So
yeah, it's not very big. We'd have to just compare the $25,000 to the operating revenue for the permits themselves. I'm not sure, Trudy, if we had that as part of the report. Let me see if that was broken down.
Just our permit revenue for 2024. Resident permits is
$31,000.
31K. Madam okay. Chairperson, can I ask a question?
Oh, absolutely.
So, we received copies of the schedule of revenues and expenditures for the years ending 23 and 24, and so I guess I just want to understand what we receive because it's labeled as the Park Tucson, which I presume is the profit loss statement effectively for y'all. And it lists revenues in 23, actual revenues of almost $5 million, and then and 24 of $5.5 million. So what is that? Because if I understand correctly, all we're doing is talking about the neighborhood program right now. So, and which is a comparatively small amount compared to this $5 million. What is that for? Is that everything in the city as far as everything that happens, as far as road improvements and everything that happens throughout the city in relationship to what are we talking?
So you're talking about the $5 million in revenues for FY24, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, that was another topic too.
So for Park Tucson, it wouldn't be any construction. It's just parking. So off-street parking, on-street parking, citations, permits, that's what makes up the $5 million in revenue for Park Tucson.
Okay, but what we're talking about right now is just a tiny fraction, right?
Well, of that. Well and within, honestly,
for the neighborhood part, right?
Yeah, well, I kind of wanted to just get this squared away, so it was like a twofold question for these guys.
I just wanted to understand what. So it would be helpful to me, Trudy, if you could, because I get where Lois is going, but I just kind of want to get an idea of how much, what percentage of the neighborhood program is included in that $5 million, and you're talking it's about 31.
One second, sir. It's like a spit in the bucket. But you know what though? If you do the math on and we'll get to the bigger budget picture. Because that was a big question of mine.
Wanted to see how it fit into all of this. Thank you.
Yeah, it's probably just a tiny subset, it looks like. However, if you have $31,000 in permits and you charge about $75 per permit, that only works out to be about 413 permits. How many permits? Well, plus if you give a few away or whatever, but there's only 413 people who buy permits in all the neighborhoods? That doesn't sound like very much.
Yeah, do you have updated accounts on that? I could actually try to look that up and try to get you that answer if you stand by.
Yeah, because the numbers, that doesn't look right. I have 3,600 households in my square mile of garden district. So I can't imagine in all these areas that you have, you've only got 413 permits, which amounts to 31,000. Something doesn't sound right.
So not every permit is $72. They range from $48 to $72. The bulk of our permits that are issued are $48. The last report that we ran, we have 1,727 paid permits issued.
Okay, so if you take 31,000 divided by 45, it comes out to be 646. So there's a discrepancy in there somewhere. I don't know. Yeah, but and so the whatever the dollar amount is, I was still interested in knowing the percentage. But it looks like it's like 90% or something is returned to the neighborhoods from this program, but your dollars aren't adding up with the cost of the permit. So if you guys can put together some summary of the permit program for the neighborhoods, because we are, all the neighborhoods, incredibly strapped for traffic enhancements of any kind. We've got speeders all over this city. And no one wants to do anything. TDOT, nope, you can't do this. Nope, you can't do that. Nope, we won't put in stop signs. Nope, you can't have speed humps. Oh, you got to pay $5,000 for each speed hump. We've got all of these things, and these neighborhoods are looking for money to do any kind of traffic calming. And so $25,000 won't even get you, that barely get you five speed humps, according to the city. In an entire year of all these people paying the permit fees, I don't know. I just really wonder. There's something doesn't add up. Okay, so anyhow, if we could get at some point some explanation of how much money's coming in from the permits in those permit areas, and then find out where the money went, because each year somebody's getting that money. And so how's the money being doled out?
Right. So for the reinvestment program, there is neighborhood simply requested. They've already been issued a letter with their total balances. They can spend up to $30,000 for the year. But Park Tucson, in order to protect our budget and control our costs, we have a spend limit of $60,000. So the neighborhood just comes to us, and two neighborhoods have successfully come to us for this fiscal year. And that is Sam Hughes and Armory Park. So they're each going to use $30,000 this year for, I believe they're looking at sidewalk repairs or installations.
But wait a minute, if you guys only made $25,600 in 2024, how can you be doling out $60,000?
Right. So we have to double check that number. And Trudy, I'm looking at actuals for 24 for resident permits and visitor passes of 123,000. So I'm not sure if the 30,000 is correct that we were referencing. But the accumulation of neighborhood reinvestment funds has been set aside. So that's reserve money for those neighborhoods. And as you know, we were going to show you some actuals from our budgets. We are operating in a deficit. So any money that we do provide to the neighborhood, it does go against our budget there. So we do hear from the neighborhoods. We heard from the wards and our Park Tucson Commission. We wanted to continue this program, and we reduced some of the threshold requirements in order to negotiate, meet in the middle in terms of, how much money Park Tucson is providing back to the neighborhood reinvestment program.
But who's allowed to get the money? Any of the people that have money that got paid in?
Yes. The neighborhoods accumulate the money as the permit revenue is accrued. So each neighborhood association.
So what we'd like to, what I'd like to see is have that information be public information. How much is accrued for every neighborhood that belongs to this program? You said there's 15 neighborhoods. I'd like to see the list of the money, because a lot of these people, I don't even know if they know they have it, but maybe they do.
Absolutely. So we've been engaged with every neighborhood association.
Well, that's great.
Yeah.
I think it should be public information.
Oh, yeah. It is public information.
I'm not sure. Where would I find it?
I can send it to you. We don't post it on the website, or anything like that. But we can definitely provide that to you. I have it up right now. I can share my screen and show you. I was going to go through it.
Yeah, sure.
Sure. I can.
And then we're going to move on to the bigger question, which is the giant budget question.
And Tom, if you want to give us a copy, you could send it to me and I could distribute it out to the commissioners and the chair.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. Oh, let me just get it ready here. I just have to find it. Here's that. So here's our running list.
Okay.
So you can see each neighborhood has a total balance in this column right here. Here's the neighborhoods. There's a $334,000 right now in the program total. It goes back to the year 2016. You can see project expenditures, but each year there's earned revenue and expenditures. So each year is accounted for, and these are the totals for each of the neighborhoods.
I'd be wondering why they're not spending it. North University, that's a lot of money. Rincon Heights, Sam Hughes has a huge dollar number. But that could be accumulated, you said, over from 16 to 24.
Correct. And some neighborhoods choose to accumulate a little bit more for a bigger valued project to get a bigger, larger project done.
Right.
Once it's accumulated, once it's given to the association, is there any control over how it gets spent? Or is it just given to the neighborhood association?
No.
And they spend it as they wish?
No. So they have to apply to use the funds for a specific project. It's a neighborhood traffic mitigation project. Once they work with the project coordinator on a DTM side, they get the project done, and then Park Tucson pays the invoice for however much money they wanted to use for that project. So it's not really given to the neighborhood. It's there available for them to use against a traffic mitigation project.
And that includes sidewalks?
Yes.
No. Does it?
Yes.
Huh. Interesting. If I was them, I'd be using it, because you guys may need it for something else. I'd be taking that money and running, coming up with whatever I could. Okay. So now getting on to the bigger question, which was your budget in the CAFR. We were looking at these numbers, just trying to understand what they were. So can you Can you move on to look at the, we're looking at year ended June 30th, 2023. And then the Park Tucson budget, actual, and the variances. And your deficits, which I wasn't quite understanding at all.
Are you, is that actually 2023 or 2024?
It says, I'm reading at the top of the page. That's all I can tell you. It okay. says at the top of the page, year end June 30, 2023, special revenue funds. So that's all okay. I know.
I believe that that was the document that was shared when we were going to have our meeting a few months ago.
Yeah, it was page 162.
Okay. Since that meeting, we've actually closed out FY24. So I did supply the that same document for FY24, and that is the one that I'm prepared to discuss. And it's similar anyway.
Sure.
We are operating in a deficit at the current time.
Can you throw it up on the screen?
Sure.
Okay. And we all know what we're looking at. We're all looking at the same one. Mm-hmm. Thanks.
No problem. This is the one you're referring to, correct?
Yeah. So the one we saw was a preliminary, maybe?
And this, so the other one was for closing out FY23. And this is preliminary because we are not completely finished with closing out the year. But this is where we're at as far as Park Tucson. We've processed all the transactions. This is how the year is ending for FY24. And then, it is not a certified copy by auditors yet.
Okay, so let me look up the one that we had. So down at the bottom, it was $2 million off, and that was net change in fund balances. So I can't see your whole document. So there's change. Oh, okay, that is the whole thing. So
the
somehow.
Lois, the $2 million is on the 23. The one that she's got up on the screen right now is for year ending 24. And is she it? Both.
Is it or is it?
So what you're looking at right now is year ending 2024, what she has up on the screen right now. Mm-hmm. But she also provided for year end June 2024, which had the $2 million deficit. This year ends a deficit of almost $600,000.
Yeah. So,
yeah,
so
this I can't see the top, so I don't know what dates this okay. is. Okay.
So this is the 2024. This is the 2024.
Okay. Let me look at the one I have.
In 2023, we ended in a deficit of $168,000. And in 2024, we ended in a deficit of $403,000. So the aggregate of that currently, Park Tucson is in a deficit of $572,000.
Okay.
So can you explain where that $2 million then, that $2 million on the 2023 comes from? Because when we look at that, and you're looking at net change in fund balance, it shows a deficit of $2.1 million for 2023. And then there's something where something happens, which I don't understand, where then it comes down to a fund balance end of year of $168,000 deficit. So I don't know, magic happens between that $2 million and the $168,000. If you could explain that, that would be helpful to me.
Sure. Sure.
Yeah, I don't get it either.
So I do not have the FY23 document in front of me, but I'm pretty sure I know the story. Park Tucson is operating in a deficit. COVID was hard on the department, and they lost a lot of their parking revenue by people not coming downtown and coming to work. So they depleted their fund balance in those early years of COVID, and still just trying to keep up. We're operating in a deficit. So it was a decision by leadership at the city to transfer $1.5 million of expenses out of Park Tucson into a COVID emergency fund. And so that is why you see that drastic difference, because that happened at the end of the year. We transferred those expenses out.
Where
those were covered by COVID fund expenses, that they were covered by what, like grant funds or something else that was received by the city for COVID expenditures? Is that?
Yes. Yes, oh, that is accurate.
Where did they write it? Where does it show up in the accounting of it all? Because the 2023 just shows it's, you know, a couple million hanging out there. But they,
and I, yeah, I'm wondering if you guys actually had a preliminary report at that time as well when you received the 23 one.
I have, you know, no what idea.
I'm fairly new. I'm just wrapping up my first year in the department. So as I was reporting the financials to the Park Tucson Commission, we were noticing that we had $1.5 million more in revenue. And that is how it was initially processed. And then we realized we need to get these expenses out of here. And so there was a drastic change from 1 month to the next when that journal was completed. So I can certainly do some research on the document that you're seeing for 2023. What I would really prefer to do is just pull the published ACFR from the City of Tucson's website and pull this exact same page to see what FY23 truly ended at, audited and all.
Can somebody just go through this and tell us what all this stuff is? So you, but the left side budgeted means that's how much you think you're going to spend.
And we're starting here with revenues.
Yeah.
So in FY24, we thought that we would bring in 5.5.
Okay.
3.5 in revenues. We actually brought in just a little over that. And so we did a little bit better in revenues than we had anticipated overall.
Okay.
If you look line by line, you can see that our fines and forfeitures were down. So we actually lost what we, you know, what we thought we would bring in for fines and forfeitures. And then, you know, other areas performed a little better, making sure that we actually did bring in a little more revenues than we thought. Then we moved down here into the expenditures. And these are very rolled up to be a high level.
Can somebody talk about what is this? Use of money and property. What would be in that category?
That would be rentals and leases.
Rentals of what?
For instance, the Park Tucson office is at Pennington, and there's a restaurant that is attached. It's a City of Tucson owned property. Therefore, that restaurant pays rent to City of Tucson.
Okay, so what's charges for services? What's in that category?
That's going to be our parking permits, meter parking, garage parking, parking lot parking. That's all the Park Tucson's revenues.
That's revenue. Okay, got it. Okay, so then we go down to community enrichment and development. You've got $3.7 million. What is that? And the actual was $4.2 million. What is that?
That is basically the operating procedures of Park Tucson. All of the operating expenditures.
Where would like the neighborhood expenditures show up in that big number?
Yes.
Community enrichment. Who decides the titles of these? This is like nobody could ever look at this and know what they're reading. That's a big problem I have with all this budget stuff. You guys on the inside know this stuff, but we have no idea what these things are, and there's no way for us to drill down. It's so, really kind.
Can I ask one more question on the funds and features? And Trudy, I'm not sure if you have this at your fingertips, but so in 2023, the P&L that you provided showed a similar reduction in collected actual fines and forfeitures in the $200,000 range. And then in 24, we ended with a deficit of $200,000. So, you know, what is your budget for 2025? Has the department made adjustments since we apparently aren't collecting what we used to? So what's the budget for 2025 on fines and forfeitures?
You know, there are things that contribute to that number not meeting the budgeted amount. So we are, you know, doing our best at Park Tucson to try to change that so that we can actually bring in what we expect to bring in. So initially, when we did develop the budget, it did stay at the 825. But we are getting ready to do an amendment because it looks like 25 isn't quite going to get us there. So we will be amending that to be $200,000 less.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Okay, so then we have debt service, principal. Mm-hmm. What dollar number is that? Principal. What does that mean under debt service?
Is that how much you owe?
It's
how much we owe for that year. So of course, on our debts, we have a full amortization schedule, and that is what is expected to be spent in FY24. It looks like when it was budgeted, it was not put in accurately per the amortization schedule, so it's a little bit off. So it does show that we're off. We did not budget quite enough for the debt service that year. And it's just an error. We have an amortization schedule. It should have been put in. The budget should have been exactly this for our debt service. Exactly the action.
That money is all the money you had to borrow and pay interest on?
Yes. It's the principal and interest only for FY24.
Right. So how much? Okay, but so you're paying about $132,000 in debt service every year, interest.
In interest, yes.
Okay. Total expenditures, revenues. So you're in the hole $290,000 or $490,000? Yeah, it's kind of hard to get used to this, the way they term it all.
If I may, we're going over 10 minutes over. For Park Tucson, would it benefit the commission to get a definition of all the line items and what they actually mean and send it over to the commission?
I can certainly do that.
You know, I think that could be helpful. Yeah, I wouldn't turn it down. But so what I was really interested in is, what's the plan to get out of the hole? So you're in the hole another, not you personally, right? But the city is in the hole another $400,000 for 2024. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I don't know. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make any sense. Right. And that that $572,000, you got to be paying interest on that. And that's more than the... Well, I guess, is that being added to the $1.5 million that you're paying debt service on? Yeah, I don't know. You know what part of the problem is? This commission has consistently, I guess, over the years, been forced to read this CAFR and comment on it. And I almost can't figure out why. You know, but for some reason, they just have. And so it's never understandable because we don't have enough information and we're not the people who prepare it. So we get these questions where we take stabs at things and we're looking at stuff and it's really kind of, I don't know. I don't know what the meaning of it is. But anyhow.
Just to get back on task real quick, let me just show you just this one document real quick, Lois. This is the document that we present to the Park Tucson Commission. And so it is much more detailed, laying it all out. We do not pay interest on that deficit in fund balance. That's not part of debt service, just to set your mind at ease about that. And maybe this would be more helpful to look through since it has more details than that ACFR page.
Uh-huh. And so what does the fund balance mean?
You know, that we don't have any fund balance. We're running short.
It's minus 532. Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What's the meaning of it if you don't pay interest on that? You said you don't think they pay interest on that?
Yeah. No, we don't pay interest on that.
I don't get it.
it's showing that the fund is operating in a deficit, and so we are just trying to shore that up.
Well, who covers that amount of money that it's operating in a deficit? Where does it come from?
The thing is it's not actually short on cash. So I think that's maybe what could be the confusing part.
It's short against the budgeted amount.
Right.
But they still owe they're still paying interest on some giant dollar number.
Yeah, but that was money that was borrowed for projects. So to install LED lighting, to do some major repairs to some of the garages, that's actually debt, actually money we went out and borrowed.
And so how much of that is there still?
The last report I ran, there is $9.5 million left on that debt.
That's pretty enormous.
Five different projects that were completed, and we've been paying on them, and it's down to $9.5 million.
Interesting. But if you're always running under budget, I don't know, anyhow. Do the other commissioners, does anybody have any other questions? It would probably be helpful to get this list and the list of the neighborhoods and who's been allocated what dollar amounts. That would be helpful.
I would like to be able to study that one on the screen.
Yeah.
And to compare it with what we have gotten here.
Yeah, it would be helpful.
So, Trudy, if we could get the definition of the line items that we were going over, like what they actually mean, unless this actually explains it, and then also this as well. And then for Thomas, if we could get that Excel sheet for the neighborhood fund balance that you showed on the screen, so I could distribute it to the commissioners, that would be really helpful.
Absolutely.
All right, thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for the explanations.
Yes, for one more thing. Thomas, you said you had kind of like a pre-prepared presentation, kind of like an overview of parks. Would you just be able to send that to Sarah so she could send that to us? Because I was taking a lot of notes on what you're talking about, but I think that would be helpful for me as well.
Absolutely. We'll send that over.
That'd be great. Yeah, sorry about that. It just never works out to be enough time.
Can I take 5 minutes out to use the restroom?
Commissioner Clark needs a little bit of a break after this.
No problem. No problem.
But commissioners, was that all for Park Tucson for now? Just get those documents?
Yeah, I think that looks good.
Okay, perfect. All right. Well, thank you so much, Trudy and Tom and Garl, if you're still there. Thank you so much. And I think that's it. We appreciate you all and your time and your flexibility.
Yes, thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Bye.
Nice to meet
everybody. Have a good one.
Thank you.
So while Commissioner Clark is taking a little break, I was able to reach out to Aaron Williams. It was my fault. I forgot to add him to the invite.
Oh.
So he was gracious enough to, jump on the fly and to present for 5 minutes a staff update. We will wait until Commissioner Clark comes back. Okay.
Okay. Time out.
Oh, Lois, I apologize if I'm interrupting. How do you want to handle questions? Am I supposed to say, get your attention and say chairperson or just ask her?
You know what?
What would you like to do?
I am so fine with people just jumping in, you know, because everybody's got their point, their interest points. So, yeah, I have no problem with somebody interrupting.
Right. Sorry.
I don't know.
I apologize if I was stepping on toes.
Oh, no. No. It's just, you know, it is these random topics. You know, it hasn't made any sense. So hopefully we'll be able to get on some kind of a track where it makes more sense. Hey, okay.
Pardon?
We got the man of the hour
stuck
back.
Stuck in traffic for a time.
No problem. Okay, so we're going to jump back to agenda item number 2 because we've got Aaron Williams to fill us in on business services update.
All right, good afternoon, Madam Chair, members of the commission. Thanks for having me. I'll give you a brief update on business services, current state of events. So we are currently in the fiscal year 24 AFR process. That's the annual comprehensive financial report. That means that we have our external auditors on site doing their field work. We have our finance staff preparing the financial statements for the city and putting that into the required format by GASB and GAAP for the financial statements, one of which you just looked at. That process is wrapping up the staff level work to prepare the financial statements. So it's in the final stages of that and the audit review of those. Then it moves on to the preparation of the government-wide statements and all the notes that are in the AFR that you're used to seeing, plus the MD&A, which gives the overview in easy to understand language that users usually hone in on so that they can understand the statements that are in the rest of the document. Okay, second update is the budget projections is currently being done also. So as you know, the fiscal year 25 budget was adopted by mayor and council some months back. At this point in the year, you're like a quarter in. That's when staff starts doing the projections out for the rest of this year. We have had a city manager change recently. Current city manager is also interested in certain projections for certain lines of business over a 5-year term. So staff is working on that 5-year projections. Staff-wise, we do have a new risk manager. That's one of the higher level positions in the business services department. A new staff member got hired, started at the end of last week. So we have that person in place. Previous person was a longtime employee that retired. Then we had another employee serving in an interim role for the last little bit of time. But now the new permanent risk manager is on board and learning how to do that job. She's a previous City of Tucson employee that left employment with the city in that division and then has come back at the higher level position. Okay, next update is we are also the BSD team takes the lead on our round 3 community partnership grants of $10 million. That closed at the end of business of September 30. We have about 116 organizations that applied for funding. Their ask exceeds our amount that we have available. So what we do now is we go through the 116 applications, give them a look for compliance, then turn it over to our award committee, who then makes the tough decision on which one of these useful projects get funded and which ones we don't have the funds to fund. So that will be happening over this month. Anticipated date of making award decisions is end of month. Then we negotiate or we finalize with the organizations, get contracts signed, and hopefully money out the door early November if everything is on track with the organizations that have to sign the documents. All right, last piece then is also we are finalizing our ARPA state and local fiscal recovery funds. As you know, that's the 135 $36 million that we've received in the ARPA funding, the main piece of the ARPA funding to the city, which is the state and local fiscal recovery funds, some of which was described in the Park Tucson, $1.5 or $7 million that was used to offset. That was eligible because it's a revenue recovery that the Federal Treasury Department says is allowable for that use. So that's how we were able to do that. But the $136 million we are finalizing and wrapping up. There are some lingering projects out there, but we are on track to meet all federal guidelines and actually be ahead of schedule for closing out that grant. All right, those are the main updates I have. I'm happy to answer any questions that you may have.
I just have one. On the partnership grants, once they're determined, is there any appeal from those who don't get funded?
That's a great question. Thank you. Since it exceeds the amount that we have available, and this is the final round, is round three of three rounds. In the round one and round two funding, if an organization wasn't funded, they, of course, had the opportunity to apply again for the next round of funding. This is the final round. So if they're not approved, then that's kind of where it stands. They kind of make their case in the application process, state the reasons. By the time we get done with our compliance review, so that's where we look to make sure that what they're applying for is eligible and meets the baseline criteria. So then it gets to the award committee. So if anybody doesn't meet the baseline criteria, they do have the opportunity. There's discussion at that level. So for example, one of the criteria is they have to have a valid business license or an IRS designation as a nonprofit. If we look at the documents they provided and they are not meeting that criteria, which would make them ineligible, there would be a discussion to say, are you sure? Did you happen to upload the wrong document? If their area that they chose that makes them eligible, there's multiple categories that they can apply under. If they apply under like energy retrofits, and as we do that first line review and we look at what they're proposing, and it is purchasing 100 new vehicles for staff, that doesn't quite fit into the criteria. So there would be discussion at that point to say, it appears that you're applying for something that's ineligible. Are there any mitigating factors that we need to know about? Kind of like last chance to show us where you are eligible. But then once it moves to award committee, they've been vetted to say that everything is eligible that's in front of the award committee at that baseline level. Award committee makes their decisions. For this round, the applications are three times more than what we have available to fund. So there probably won't be a second pass. Once the award committee makes their awards, it will be based on their ranking. And I'm pretty confident that it will exceed the amount we have available. So there's no additional piece. We don't have the funds to fund all the needs that they provided.
And what's the criteria for the final judgment?
So the award committee is, so we have kind of the financial staff that does the first round on eligibility to make sure that the award committee gets things that have been vetted. That way they are only looking at things that are eligible. The award committee then is made up of various staff of various levels. So elected officials have some a say in who gets appointed to that committee. City management has a say in who gets appointed to that committee. And then that committee goes through their award process. What their ranking is based on a couple different things that would be good for your team to know. So in the initial structure of how we were going to do these three rounds, that is based on mayor and council approved strategy. So they said, here are the general areas that we want to leverage this $30 million for. As we've gone through the rounds, then there are subcategories that we wanted to accomplish with this money. in round one, maybe some of those subcategories did not get any applicants. Round two, maybe there are still needs in some subcategories. In round three, those categories that we intended the use to be, if nobody applied in round one and round two, and we have applicants in round three, that does get a higher priority because we still want to meet the strategic goal of the overall program. So that's one factor that the award committee looks at. Strategic need that has not yet been funded in round one and round two. Once they look at those, then depending on what is available, then they look at the rest of the areas, some of the criteria they have available to them to discuss and decide on is, did this project or program receive funding in previous rounds? If so, was it successful? What kind of impact did it have in the community? That's one metric they look at. On the flip side of that, it could be, is this a project that has applied and has not received funding yet that we still think that there's a need for? So they have that metric to look at. The organizations have to say the demographics that they're going to service with the funds should they get awarded. So the award committee oftentimes focuses in on that. What population are they serving and what kind of impact will they have in that population as it's related to the strategic goals of the mayor and council? That one seems to be one that they look at a good bit. Other things that are in there are the financial makeup of the organizations. So such as, is the organization owned and operated by a disadvantaged population? Since that's one of the goals of the program, then that's something the award committee looks at also. The other areas that they have discussed in the past that seem to be of interest, you never know with the award committee what their interest will be this time, but traditionally, those are the big areas. They want to make sure that funds are out in the community as much as possible, so that does seem to influence their decision. Another metric that we look at is how the organization might leverage the city funding. So if they get awarded a $100,000 grant from the city, do they have maybe some federal grants lined up for this project also, maybe some donations, how much of their own funding, so that our $100,000 then becomes can be part of a bigger project to make an even bigger impact. Those are the types of things that we ask the organizations as they go through the application process. The reason is then because the award committee looks at all those factors as they make their decisions.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Any other questions? I'm happy to answer to the best of my ability.
You know, I just have a comment, and this is, I'm going to talk a little bit more about it in future updates. I don't know. It would be more helpful for this commission to have updates that were more related to the commission and the scope and the internal audit process. And so do you guys happen to know where this came from, that the only people we get updates from are business services? You know, so.
So the commission's duties are not internal audit, but it's related to the performance and financial performance of the city. So business services and or CFO is usually the closest touch point to that. That's an insight I can give you. So usually business services deals with all the financial and internal operations of the city, which is usually where this commission, that it's most aligned with your duties. If you feel that there would be more useful or more closer touch point, that could be something to discuss.
Yeah, I'm just kind of wondering, and is that coming out of the bylaws? Because it's pretty big, kind of what it says.
Yeah, maybe the staff liaison, you might want to schedule an overview of commission rules and responsibilities, the ordinance that sets their boundaries, and the bylaws that then additionally do that. So it's pretty specific, but it should be in your bylaws. Lois has been, or Chairman Pollack has been part of the commission, but it probably has been a while since we've done that type of update. Commissioner Ortega, I'm taking it that you're new to the commission. Hopefully, while you were onboarded, you were provided that kind of onboarding that goes over the.
Was not provided an onboarding, despite to have an onboarding.
All right. Yeah. So as you're onboarded, you should get a kind of the onboarding packet that should have the bylaws, also the ordinance, the rules and responsibilities. Sarah, if you want to, maybe by the time next time comes around.
So Aaron, just to be clear, being handed a bunch of documents to read is not onboarding. I did get
I know.
That's not considered onboarding from my perspective. And in my reading those documents, and I'm sorry, I don't mean to come across as hostile, but I have reached out several times to the city to try and get more information and try and be more prepared for my position on this commission, and have basically been ignored. So I know this is not your job or your problem, but I did want to make you aware of that. And in my reading of those documents, the internal audit function does have an interaction responsibility to us. So my question to you is where the city's at in hiring for the internal audit function. And we've got some information, rightly or wrongly, early in our meeting that it's not even posted. So if you have any information on that, I'd be interested in hearing that.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah, I'm interested in that too, because there isn't anybody right now. How's that working? Seems kind of strange.
Okay, great. Great question. Let me address Commissioner Ortega's first. So, thank you for the feedback. It's not my role and responsibility currently, but it was before, which is why that feedback is useful. Feel free to reach out to me directly with any other feedback on how the onboarding wasn't up to par, because we want to make sure as new staff take over, it should be not just handing documents, but it should be discussion not only at the ward level, but then once you get onboarded, once you get appointed, then the onboarding process by the liaison should be going over those documents, answering any questions you have, making sure that you're prepared and ready. So if it wasn't up to standards, please let me know. Where we're at on, so the internal audit piece is accurate, as in you do have interaction with the internal audit function in the city, but you as the independent audit and performance commission are not taking on an internal audit role in the city. So that's where there right. could be your focus is a little bit different. What you do though, is you do review the annual internal audit plan, and usually we'd be getting updates from the internal audit staff as they are meeting that plan. So that way you kind of have access to what they're looking at internally, because traditionally that is of interest to this commission. Because if internal audit's already looking at it, it might be something that you're interested in that you then don't have to look at. Or you could help direct internal audit that, in addition, the independent performance and commission might be interested in this other piece that you're looking at. So could you please also provide some information there? As to where they stand on the recruitment, it is out of the city manager's office, which I am not part of currently. But the last I heard is there are two positions that I believe we still have for internal auditors. Those currently report to the CFO. I know that there is not a recruitment currently out there, and I can't speak to what the plan is. I can say informally, we've had discussions about possibly moving those two positions back under the business services director, which is basically the finance director, although business services is recently set up. It's more than just finance anymore. That's where those positions used to reside. As the previous finance director moved in to the CFO role, she took those positions, that function, with her, and that's where it sat for a lot of years. So currently, I don't think an active recruitment's out there. And I don't know the plan on if we're officially moving those two positions back under business services or if the CFO plans to keep them herself.
Thank you. I appreciate the update.
So, Sarah, for the next meeting, we'd like to find out from the CFO when these auditors are going to get hired. It's kind of interesting when you look at other cities and what they're doing with their internal auditors. Tucson is like, they seem like they're ignoring any kind of auditing that would benefit the departments in the city. I mean, because what's been being done is just a tiny staff of two, and now we don't have two even. And the topics or the audits they've done have not exactly been traditional audits. They've been more consulting to help the departments maybe function better. But that's not a typical internal audit function. So it's kind of an interesting thing. But so we'd like to find out, you know, when those auditors are going to get hired. Because until they are, there's no, well, we can go over the internal audit plan, but they're not doing any of it.
Sure. If I may, we sure. still have Aaron's report, and we do have on the agenda talking about future agenda items. And I think this is the time we should be discussing that.
Probably. So anyhow, I guess we'll just, you know, let Aaron go there. And thanks for cluing us in on the updates with the business services department. We appreciate
it. Thank you for your time.
You have a really good insight as to what's going on, that's for sure. Yeah.
Thanks.
Okay. Let's see. The next agenda item is actually call to the audience. And so,
I don't see anybody.
Well, I don't see anybody either. So I guess
anybody virtual?
No, there is no one.
Yeah. So that's that. Now, future agenda items. So, you know, given we've got two new commissioners in this last few months, I had asked Sarah if she could possibly find somebody who could talk to us about the open meeting law. Not just get a, because I got a one pager or two pager, a couple of slides on PowerPoint that said, here you go. Here's the open meeting law. Didn't explain a thing. And so we need that. We need to, I'd like to also review the bylaws again, because I see a little bit, I've got them pulled up right now. I see a little bit of what Aaron is talking about as far as the commission shall have the following authority. And then it's got 4 points, basically. Comment on the annual audit plan upon direction of mayor and council to provide, or upon majority vote of commissioners, to provide independent appraisal of city programs, policies, and functions in order to help management perform more efficiently, effectively. That part doesn't say anything about financial. Then we've got the next one talks about financial. And then the next one talks about the mayor and council could come up with something. So anyhow, I'd like to get that, the bylaws, and look at them from that point of view.
Do we ever get the budget book presentation?
Budget.
Which is one of the ones that were on the list for future agenda items.
Yes, so from the last meeting that we had in, I believe it was June, and Antonio was here and we discussed about creating a running list of future agenda items and then just removing the ones that we've accomplished and then say, okay, what's next? So is that something that the commissioners, Madam Chair, do you want to proceed with having on the minutes and having on future agendas to have a running list?
I think a running list is good, but right now I'd like to pretty much put the list on hold because we're just going off on a tangent. Hey, let's talk about TPD. Hey, let's talk about the water department. Hey, there's no rhyme or reason or focus. And so what I'd like to do is try and create a focus, create the scope, have everybody understanding what the scope is of the IAPC, and then we can start trying to, do what it is we all think we're supposed to be doing. Because it's never made.
Four members cannot do what seven members are supposed to do.
Well, it kind of depends on what we're supposed to be doing. So, yeah, I don't know.
I mean, one of the ways in which we can delve into things is by forming subcommittees and meeting at other times. And with four members, we're somewhat limited into what we can ask of people to do.
Right, but I'm not even that clear on what we would even be doing. So when I originally joined the commission, it was because we were going to be doing an audit on code enforcement. And so, we did that. But right now it would be more important to try and figure out what should the internal audit function, well, understanding what the city thinks the internal audit function is versus maybe the best practices that other cities are doing or best practices in just what cities should be doing and trying to understand all that. Because right now we don't oversee, we don't look at the city's internal audit function. Yep, we look at that schedule once a year. Okay, it looks good to me. And every quarter we're looking at a report. Yeah, we did this, we did that, we did this. But really, I don't know.
As I understand it, we have not received any requests for an audit from mayor and council going back to the original one that you were talking about, the code enforcement.
Right.
Which is, what, 4 years ago? I don't think we've received any other requests from mayor and council to do anything. And since I have been on, I don't recall any particular request from the city manager.
Right. They're not going to request it.
Well, I'm wondering when you're trying to form what we're supposed to be doing, if we might not ask somebody from the city manager's office or maybe someone from the clerk's office that deals with mayor and council to find out what their expectations of the Independent Audit Performance Commission might be.
Oh, that could be really interesting because I'll bet you most of them don't even know what it does. And they don't know what it should do.
Start at ground zero.
Commissioners, right. Madam Chair, if I may.
Sure.
What I'm hearing, and please interrupt if this is not correct, is you want somebody, say, if it would benefit the commission, for somebody that knows the scope and knows the vision of this commission to come and listen in and give you an idea of what you guys are supposed to do, correct?
I don't think I want somebody telling us what it is they think we're supposed to do. They could say, in the past, here's what we've been doing. Here's our interpretation of what this code says. But when I read the code, I'm not reading it that way. And so it looks like we can make up our own agenda. The mayor and council can tell us what they want to do, or there's all kinds of things. There is some stuff in there about financial things, but that's just one line item out of five. So yeah, when you look at
one of the things you mentioned, Madam Chair, is that you have questions as to whether or not the mayor and council or the city manager's office knows what the IAPC is supposed to be doing. And one of the things we are supposed to be doing is taking their suggestions and following through on it. And if nobody knows what we're there and they're not making suggestions, we're trying to decide what we want to do on our own. And I think it would be a good idea to see if we could get some uniform understanding of the duties of the IAPC.
Well, we can send a letter out to the mayor and council and the city manager and the assistant city managers.
I'm asking
say,
if we could ask them to come and talk to us rather than send a letter to them.
No, that's what I'm saying. Make a letter, send it to them, and say, we are inviting you to come and talk to the IAPC. And
so if I could interject, I think you want to be very careful about how you make this request. Reason being is specifically due to the title of our commission. It's independent Audit and Performance Commission. It's not we do the mayor and council's bidding to look at what they think we should be doing. I think it's pretty clear in the document that created this commission exactly what we're supposed to be doing, which is the five things that Madam Chairperson just outlined. We're supposed to be looking at policies, programs, functions to make sure they're doing what they're supposed to be doing. Basically independent audits of those, and we don't do those. We have oversight of those. But since those aren't occurring, since we don't have any kind of audits happening because they basically abdicated their responsibility to have an internal audit function, that's a concern to me. And then the other thing is we're supposed to get updates on the financial reports, which to me means we should be getting an update right now. Aaron just said the annual financial audit is ongoing. So why isn't the CFO here presenting to us, telling us how that's going? To me, the CFO should be presenting to us every month to tell us what's happening. If we're responsible in this thing, saying how we are supposed to be examining the financial reports, you should be giving us an update on the financials every month. That's just me. So I apologize, we're getting all excited here, but I would be very careful on how you ask this, because we're supposed to be an independent commission and we're supposed to be in an oversight function to ensure that the mayor and council and the city is doing what they're supposed to be doing. We're an audit committee. We're not here to do the bidding of the city. We're supposed in an oversight role.
If I might, we have no authority to enforce any oversight role. What we do is look at how things are going and make recommendations back to the mayor and council and to the city manager.
I understand the role of an oversight commission. I have been on audit committees. I know that we don't enforce anything, but we do look at it and we provide feedback. But we don't have anything to look at right now because there is no audit committee. We're not getting reports from the functions that we should be getting reports from. And so I'm just saying that as a commission, I agree with Chairperson Follett because we have not outlined how we're supposed to be doing this. And we kind of can't because there's nobody in a position that generally would be reporting to us, which to my mind in reading through these documents is the internal audit function and the CFO. So I think they kind of owe us an explanation as to how they are supposed to be supporting us, not telling us what to do, but how they're going to support us to help us accomplish our mission, which is very clearly outlined in the document that was created by the mayor and council. So I'm not saying we're going to tell people what to do. Our role is to provide oversight and then give feedback where we say things are wrong. And then they can do, you know, having been an internal auditor for 25 plus years, I know how that works. Give your feedback and they can tell you where to put it or they can do something about it. So I get the role of an oversight. I'm not saying that they're going to do something one way or the other. What I'm saying is that we have to be careful when we're supposed to be an independent commission and asking people to tell us how to do our job, because I would be really concerned if we start asking people that we're supposed to have oversight over to tell us how to do what we're doing. That's all I'm saying.
So I think it's a good idea to have the CFO or whoever can speak for that person come to the next meeting and discuss, you know, their plan to get the internal auditing function back and running. And that we are very concerned that it's not running. If they do have an internal audit plan, they're not carrying it out. Now that those positions have been vacant for quite a while. And that's really concerning, because who is watching over any of these programs? You know, the only thing they have independent people looking at are the financial budgets. You know, they have to have an accounting audits every year, you know, and so that's probably the only thing they're looking at. So I think for the next meeting, I'd like to just disregard the list that we have going so far, just so we can get back on track. And so one would be having the CFO come and talk about their, you know, when they plan on getting internal auditors back in the job, and what they're going to be doing. And we can start with that and then ask more questions later, because after looking at different cities and seeing the audits that they have posted on their websites, they have their audit plan. El Paso was one of them. And they've got their audit plan. They've got their audit reports. They've got everything all laid out, you know, what they're doing. Tucson has zero. They've never posted that stuff online that I can find. And what are the auditors looking at? Well, they haven't been doing traditional auditing that I can tell, which is going out and actually assessing what's being done against the requirements. Are they following everything in the requirements? And then if they're not, writing corrective actions or some type of an action that has to be addressed with a root cause corrective action and implement the changes. They aren't doing audits here like anybody else does audits. I forget what they call them, but it was some particular kind of thing. But anyhow, so finding that out. And then we need a presentation on the open meeting law. And we need to drag out the bylaws and look at them. Because I had brought this up in the past about setting a particular, there's advantages and disadvantages to setting a particular day and time. Because for working people to join this commission, these meetings are difficult. It's hard to be somewhere in the middle, smack in the middle of a week, and have to be at a meeting before business hours are closed. I don't think that you'll see that in some of the other commissions. Some of the commissions meet after hours. They start at 5, or on Tuesday. Of course, everything's on Tuesday at the city, you know, but they are able to move things around a little bit to accommodate the commission, not to accommodate the city. So, yeah, I know people shouldn't be working overtime or whatever, but, you know, this is keeping people from joining the commission, probably. And that's another thing. We've put a plea out to the mayor and council, and the mayor's office has been the worst one about trying to find an appointee, trying to even help find an appointee. So just right there, it's like, okay, they could care, you know, I don't know if they care or don't care about the commission. I don't know if they care or don't care about audits. I don't even know if they all know what they mean, you know, but that's a whole other topic from whenever. So anyhow, does that sound, if we can get that going for the next meeting, we can just focus on that. And I think that'll probably be enough to cover for the next meeting. What I'm hoping for is all four of us are going to be at the meeting. So it doesn't do any good to have three people, you know, and the fourth one is a new person or whatever. And I actually have not been here that long. I've been here, I guess, 3 years. But I never got an introduction to this commission from anybody. and didn't know except what I read on that page. What are we supposed to be doing? So, and none of us have ever talked about it. So, not really, you know, not had a really good discussion. And so, and Commissioner Clark, you're the only one who's been on the commission before. And so, but, you know, sometimes things have to morph into something else to be more, more beneficial. And so maybe it's time to morph this commission into some better oversight to try and drive improvement at the city, which is the only, you know, that's the reason for audits, really, drive improvement. And that's really what the, to me, that's really what the bylaws basically say. Anyhow, and then I would like to show at the next meeting also talking about, you know, the bylaws and everything and what we should be doing. I would like us to bring up the City of El Paso's website and look at their internal audit schedule and their reports. Not that I want to dissect the report. It's just the fact that it's there. We can just take a look at it, you know, spend just a couple minutes and say, here's what other cities are doing. And maybe if anybody else knows of any other cities that are doing these audits, you could send Sarah an email and say, here's another one. I think maybe City of Phoenix. We can pick, like El Paso is smaller than us, you know. And
yeah, Phoenix is our sister city, I think.
Yeah, Albuquerque could, there might, they might have something. Phoenix is pretty big, but Phoenix.
Sarah, if I may.
Yeah.
I just want to get clarity on my role in the commission. So I'm supposed to be providing technical assistance to the commission. If there's anybody within the departments that will benefit the commission to present, I'm liaison to outreach and to schedule your meetings and make sure that they're present. Regarding the bylaws, that would probably have to go through city clerks. I could definitely find out if there's a issue with the bylaws, if it's just outdated, you want to make any changes, especially with the times. I will find that out, that information for you regarding on how to go about changing that. As far as I know, we can't just randomly change the bylaws and then post it on our website. I believe there has to be a process for that. It has to be approved by mayor and council, but I will find out for you regarding that.
Yeah, if there's, if you do find somebody who is knowledgeable about that, perhaps you could ask them to attend.
In regards to the CFO presenting, so our CFO is Anna Rosenberry. She's also the assistant city manager. And so she oversees the business services. Erin is business services, the deputy director, and other functions within the city as well. That includes the human resources, IT, all of that. And so regarding wanting her to come and present every single time, she most likely will send somebody in her stead to present to the commission. Right. That's why she, I believe she appointed the business services. He deals with the financials, which is Erin. Regarding the hiring process for internal auditors, that most likely falls underneath HR. So I could find out for you who could present regarding what the situation and regarding the hiring process for internal auditors. So I should get that to you pretty soon.
Perfect. If you also, I know we had this discussion before you, Sarah, but right in the bylaws, it says bylaws and meetings, the commission shall adopt bylaws for its operations that are consistent with this chapter and other legal authority and file them with the city clerk. And I think in the bylaws, it was pretty vague. I think we just had to vote on changes. And like you said, maybe, and I'm sure you have to run them through the city clerk and everything.
Yeah, I
but
think,
we can look at that.
Yeah, I think my understanding, and, you know, I just got on board with being the liaison for the commission, so I apologize.
You must have screwed up somewhere.
I know. I didn't even get Erin on the meeting. Like, I seriously, that's one ding. Go ahead, put that on me.
No, I meant to be assigned to this. You must. Somebody must hate you.
Oh, I drew the short stick. No. It was a pleasure to be on this and helping you as any way possible, because in the city manager's office, I think the last meeting I presented to the commission, I was in charge of identifying the boards, commissions, and committees vacancies. So I presented that. So it's a pleasure. Regarding the, I guess, the bylaws, if there's anything you want to change, I think there has to be a consensus with that, and also what you want to put on the agenda. So we're following Robert's rule of you know, Robert's rule. And we need to get a consensus from the commissioners on what you want to put on the next agenda.
Well, I'll be sending that to you. Because it says agenda shall be prepared by the chairperson and city staff. So I'll send that to you. And
so
then
also, sorry, Lois, just FYI, Article 6 in our bylaws is exactly how we make amendments to bylaws.
Number 6?
I think the one that you're looking at is, so I'm looking at the IAPC bylaws.
Yeah, I am too, but I wonder if we have different versions.
Well, are you looking at the one which has
mine says
Office of May, City at the top?
No, and mine says May 5, 2010. Is that the latest one? Because that's the one I have.
Yes. Scroll it to does. The very bottom on page 3.
So, number 6? It says special meetings.
Sorry, Article 6.
Yeah.
You scroll all the way down to the very bottom of the bylaws.
Oh, okay. Yeah, an amendment properly ratified by, yeah, proposed amendment voted on. Yeah.
Well,
oh, that's not, that's 11. Okay, sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're right.
Yeah.
See, if they would do something other than the Roman numerals.
I know.
My apologies. So,
no problem.
So it basically says that you can just do it.
Yeah.
In the meeting. So if at one point you want to add that to an agenda, you could add that as a discussion item to an agenda.
Well, I'm hoping that we're going to discuss that at the next meeting. And then if we all determine we want to change to the bylaws, then we can I could write up a proposed change, and then we could approve it at the following meeting. So yeah, we'll look at the bylaws next time. The other thing, it still calls out that a quorum shall consist of 4 authorized members. And so the city came down and they changed that rule recently. And a quorum is 3. Yep. What is it? 3 out of, I never did see it in writing. What a quorum is. Have you seen that, Sarah?
I remember Antonio mentioned it, that it did change.
Yeah.
I apologize. I can't recall right now, but I believe it had something to do with 3 out of, or yeah, like majority. If
one
there's
more than
50%. Yeah, one more than 50%. That's right.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And so that's in our bylaws. And it's kind of funny that the city came down and they just went across the board and said, okay, we're changing it. But that had been a point of contention with all the commissions, because all the commissions are so understaffed, you know, with volunteers, you know, they had to do something. But anyhow, okay. Okay, so I think you're on target for what we want. I'm going to write you an agenda. And what I'm planning on putting in there, like I had said, was let me know if you find somebody who can talk to us about the open meeting law. We're going to pull up the not only the bylaws, but I've got a copy here of the city Tucson code. Oh, it's article 11 of the Independent Audit and Performance Commission. It's in the Tucson City Code. And it talks about what our roles and responsibilities are. And so maybe we can look at that one along with the bylaws. And then get the introduction for the open meeting law. And then also Let's see. Oh, the updating of hiring of internal auditors from whoever can show up from the CFO's office. And I hope they don't just come and say, we don't know, you know, because that's kind of what the mayor's office did with appointing somebody to the commission. Oh, yeah, well, let me check on that. And then they'll look next time. Oh, yeah, I was going to check on that, wasn't I? It's just too bad. But anyhow, and I'm sure that'll be enough. As far as the updates from the city, you know, I guess, but what I'd really like to see at a future meeting, maybe not at the next one, right? We need to know what changes are going on at the city. What processes have major changes? What major executive management is changing? I know they just moved the puppets around, and they moved the head of PDSD into a position of assistant city manager. Let's see. We need to look at any really high level, maybe policy changes that they are making public. It's very hard to find out what's going on at the city. We have no org charts. We know nothing of who's in what position. They don't have really anything for the public to see. And so, I mean, if we were just reading this on the webpage, that'd be great. But I'd like to see, you know, things that are occurring that are different. High-level policy changes, or I'm not sure how high-level, but major changes to processes. The city ordered, for example, the city manager or some mayor and council, I don't know who, told the head of environmental services that they want the environmental services, the landfill basically, to be a green, you know, place that operates on its own or blah, 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 you know, stuff like that. So these things are occurring, but we have no idea what they are, because a lot of these things could trigger changes to processes or their new processes or updated things. And then how is the internal audit function keeping up on these new processes? Are they going out and auditing? And, you know, what is this schedule going to be updated? But right now, the schedule has been the same one it's been every year with the internal audit function, and it's really looks pretty inadequate. So, but to them, they've been told that's what they have to do. So anyhow, okay. So does that sound clear for next time?
I understand that I'm going to get a list for the next agenda, what you would like on the agenda. My main concern is keeping time. So I did look at the running list for future agenda items, and I was basing what you guys want, the commissioners want, for somebody to come in and talk about. I was basing on that list. So yeah, I have Tucson Water coming in next time. They're ready. They're ready to look at. I think it was Commissioner Burke that was really concerned about the infrastructure replacement budget and plans. And so we have Tucson Water on there. So just be aware that that's 30 minutes already.
I don't know. Do you two want to see Tucson Water? Because it's another one of these. We're off on a tangent, you know, and I know that he had some point, but I don't know what it is. And are they hard to
reschedule the water?
Yeah, I mean, we got to quit bouncing around and just get to work on the internal audit stuff.
Mr. Burke is not present, and
yeah,
I know they've gone to the effort, but we'd certainly love to hear from them. But maybe reschedule them.
That's not a problem. I'll go ahead and let them know that. Just cancel that meeting for now.
Yeah.
But in the near future, most likely you guys would like, the commission would love to have a presentation from them. But right now, focus on the IAPC and get back on track with that.
Yeah, yeah. I believe the issue with Tucson Water being called was because the 411 money to repave the streets came to a screeching halt in some areas because Tucson Water needed to dig up the street first in order to repair the water mains. But having them talk about it, you know, I don't think it's going to be productive right now.
I do have, let's see, Scott. Because I do have the information from last time as to why we needed the presentation. I think Commissioner Burke mentioned it. Let me see real quick.
It had something to do with 411.
Okay. So I reached out because I told the Tucson Water that the commission would like a presentation regarding their infrastructure. They were worried about, the commission wanted Tucson Water to discuss its budget for water infrastructure for the domestic supply and its plans to replace old lines. And I have that information right here, and I provided it to Tucson Water. And also, it was discussed last time, the halt in the 411 road paving project in certain areas due to Tucson Water needing to replace some water mains. It was mentioned that Tucson Water might not have the necessary capital budget allocated for this work, and the commission wants someone from Tucson Water to provide further details on the situation and the status of the project. And that's the information that I had, and I provided to Tucson Water.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for doing that. But yeah, I think we need to put that on hold.
Okay. Yeah.
And just say, oh, thank you very much for wanting to be available. And I think we're just, that thing's going to solve itself somehow.
Okay.
Any other comments about the next meeting? What, you know, is there anything else that we could throw in the hour and a half or whatever that we have? I think it'll be really helpful. The other thing that I would like to do is have the commissioners introduce themselves and give their background. I never knew who did what. And so just like a 5 minute, you know, not even that, 2 to 3 minute, who are you? You know, because none of us know what anybody's skill set is. And so it's like, yeah, it would be helpful when people join the commission to give a little review so everybody knows who's who, what we can all do. But anyhow, if there's no other questions or comments or whatever, I'm going to just say goodbye to the meeting here. Complete the meeting. And thanks for attending. And Sarah, thank you very much. And hopefully we'll see you next time.
Yeah, you'll definitely see me next time. You can't get rid of me now.
Okay.
Right now it's 4:59 p.m.
And we're adjourned. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.